Today's episode is sponsored by El Jefe's Party Planning Incorporated. During a big 40th birthday bash, El Jefe has you covered. With a plethora of piñatas and tequila, he'll have you throwing the biggest party this side of Santa Poco. Use promo code SWEATER to get 30% off your booking. We're also sponsored by the new Goldsmith picture, The Ride of the Three Amigos. From the studio that brought you Shooting for Love and Wanderers of the West, the new film starring Ned Niederlander, Dusty Bottoms, and Lucky Day is playing everywhere now. Now let's fire up those time circuits to 1986, because today we're traveling back in time to revisit the Three Amigos.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
My little buttercup has the sweetest smile. Dear little buttercup, won't you stay a while? Come with me where moonbeams paint the sky, and you and I might linger in the sweet.
Oh, hey, this is El Jefe, and welcome to Season 8 of 88 Miles Per Hour Podcast. That's right. I am your host, Mr. Santos Medrano. And as always, I am joined right here by the man who has the most singing, beautiful voice out there. You could say he's El Guapo, because the man on stage, he is my best friend, my right-hand man. That's right. For his birthday, I got him a sweater. Man, I was trying to do like a guapo voice, but I couldn't.
No, you cannot do it like that. You got to do it like this. Welcome, welcome. Happy New Cheers. No, be New Cheers.
Yeah, it's got to be more exaggerated. I couldn't fucking do it.
No, you have to exaggerate it because
Yeah, Mr. It hurts my throat though when I do it like that.
You got to practice. You got to practice.
He's like, it'll be like, you know, my name is Santos Medrano, and today I am joined, as always, by the greatest, most infamous singer out there, Mr. Freddie Morales, my friend, who I bought the sweater for his birthday.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. I like it very much. Thank you. Why? Do you have a plethora of sweaters?
Yes, I have a plethora. He's like, do you know what a plethora is?
No, el guapo, tell me, what is a plethora? Let me tell you.
I am not as intelligent as you, my friend.
My friend, but maybe we can go on and on with this. Seriously. Quotes of the movie. I love it.
Oh, man. It's just
people are like, what are they talking about already? God dang.
That's the 80s for you, bro. Like, the Mexicans weren't like, you know, they had to have like that accent that, oh,
all my uncles, bro, all of them.
Hola, Freddy, ¿cómo estás? Hey, ¿cómo estás? God bless you, mijo, God bless you.
See, but that right there sounds normal. For if your uncles were in a movie in the 80s, it'd be like, hey, ¿cómo estás? How you doing? They do that. Like, they drag it out. No,
right.
No lie, bro. In, I believe, 2012, right? 2012. Universal Studios Hollywood, they were doing the horror nights, like, so they do, you know, the scary mazes and shit,
right? Right.
And that night they did, I mean, that year they did a maze for La Llorona. No fucking lie, I swear to God, the whole time you're walking through the maze, and actually even in the commercial, like the fucking commercial, but in the maze, as you're walking, you're hearing like the story to La Llorona. And I swear to God, the voice that was telling you the story, like, and was like, this woman, she killed her kids. And when she was sad, she went after and tried to get her kids. Like, I swear to God, it sounded like it was out of fucking Three Amigos.
Like a racist.
And I'm like walking through the maze at the same time I'm scared, but the other moment I'm like, what the fuck?
What is it? Is that my uncle? Me tío here? Me tío, are you doing La Llorona? Sí, I'm doing it for part-time, hijo.
He's like, hey, pues me van a pagar, you know.
Están pagando, si no va a llorar tu mamá, no tengo dinero.
Yeah, la renta y...
la renta, y luego caíste con este cover, que nunca se va a acabar esa chingadera, pues está...
Es algo, you know, hey, you know. And then when he, well, you know, after he's done recording, because he's all like, that lady, she cried, La Llorona. Oh, Wentz is like, all right, Jose, I think we're done recording, right when he stops talking. Okay, I'm glad I was able to record that for you guys.
Thank you, Steven. Steven Coster. Thank you. Yeah, a lot of Latinos are losing their Hollywood jobs right now, you know?
Yeah. Oh, back in the 80s, most Latinos, or even in the
70s. It's happening again, bro. It's happening again.
In the 70s and the 60s, they would just use Italians. They almost look Chicano. So they're like,
so bad. Ah, you could be
it. Yeah. That's how it was. That was Hollywood back when, dude.
Like, Hollywood is still like that, bro. It hasn't changed. It's new generations. And, you know, I just heard that one of the Latino shows from Netflix just got.
Oh, gentrified.
Yeah. So everybody's complaining. They never give the Latinos a chance. I just read it this morning. I was like, you know what? And then they gave all the babosada shows a chance. And then they are on for seasons and seasons.
Pero yeah, but
the Latinos.
Hey, but you know, Latinos, most Latinos don't. They hate on each other. So they're going to be
like. See, that's what I guess.
Oh, look at this Mr. Gentrified show.
No. Say, hey, at least I gave you 2 seasons. Two seasons. And you sucked.
Like, it'll be like somebody on that show be like, hey, Theo, have you watched the show? Nah, Mr. Bighead, you're on the show. Netflix, get out of here. You got to watch or I'm going to get canceled. I get canceled. Get out of here. I knew you when you had caca in your canzones way.
You know what's happening? The Latinos are just getting on board Netflix, bro. Like the old generation. Once they put Vicente Fernandez on Netflix, olvídate, bro.
Hey, they do the story of Vicente Fernandez on Netflix.
By the way, right now what I've heard, they're fighting. I know. Watch Netflix.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're fighting because they want to do the whole life story of Vicente Fernandez. And for what I've heard, Televisa, which is one of the biggest ones in Mexico, they already said, "Hey, we want to do this." But now I know the more bigger money who's got Netflix. So I haven't. Is going to come on and say, "Hey, by the way, we just did a Luis Miguel series. We would like to do that." Vicente Fernandez.
Netflix even has a Celia Cruz show.
Oh, forget it, dude. They're on it, bro. They're on it.
Yeah. My parents are
on it. The white man is on it. And they're like, hey, can you get the guy, Vincent Fernandez? We want to get that series, yeah. Vincent Fernandez.
We hear he's very popular.
We heard so he's very, he was in a cartoon in Disney. Wasn't that him? Yeah, that's.
Wait, that's what?
Coco, bro. Coco.
Oh, yeah. He was in Coco. Hey, Cantinflas was in Coco. Like,
right. Dude, that is a Vicente Fernandez story. That's him, dude. You know, the singer. That's who he is. I mean, look, Disney copied, you know, of course, they got a lot of Latino Mexicanos. They got a lot of Mexicans to do that.
Yeah.
Because or else Disney would have, we got to bring him on. A very colorful movie. I love it. You know, but like I said.
Yeah.
Oh, how do we get in this topic real quick?
El Santo, he was in it too. I like that. He's like, "Oh, El Santo, I'm a Biggie's fan." Even there, dude. You know, because like, we'll obviously this is the movie, but we're not there yet.
Right.
But if this movie was filmed today, everybody would be speaking Spanish. Like, I like how all of them speak English, and my wife was like, "Why do they speak English in Mexico?" Right. I was like, "I don't know." And that's what happened in Coco. They're all like speaking, in which there is a Spanish a version that you could watch.
A huevo.
And that's the legit version right there. Right, but
of course,
you know, they're gonna do it in English, and you know, they're not like, I don't know, it's you know, no mames way. That's how they
no
say.
no. It's like, no, I watched it in Spanish. You know, that's my first language, English.
Yeah. Is that supposed to be the cough?
Yes, that's supposed to be the cough. And if people have seen this movie, they know what I'm talking about. This movie,
la película salió en 1986. It's a comedy western.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, so many good actors, very funny. My God, it came out on December 12th, 1986.
All right before my birthday.
Wow. Yeah, I was 12 when this movie came out. No, I was sorry. I was 16 when this came out. Yes. Yeah. Like you were talking about, like, what movie can you just remember that just makes you laugh all the time? You can never get tired of it. It would be this movie for me.
For you, so this is one that you've seen multiple times. Like, this is when you really truly grew up on.
Yeah, this one, because it reminds me of my brother. Mm-hmm. My brother and I will always joke around, especially we would take turns being el guapo, and then there's just so many things that we just picked out of this movie.
Yeah,
that we would joke around with our family, with our parents, with our friends, you know, and hey, El Guapo, you know, El Guapo, our friends in South area, white friends, El Guapo, what are you talking about? You know, so, and no, it's just a really great, funny movie that just puts you in a good mood, you know, to see three white guys who are trying to be heroes and trying to save, trying to be the real actors and what they're portraying, you know? And I mean, you got what, Chevy Chase in this movie?
Yeah.
You got Mr. Martin Short in this movie. Steve Martin. I mean, those guys were at the top of their game during that time in the 80s. I mean, and then you had the director, famous director, Mr. John Landis.
Yeah.
Who was
American Werewolf in London. We've done that.
Yeah. Yeah. So huge director and was on top of his game at that time, you know. And I mean, you're never going to see a movie like this anymore. Even they think they try to you know, it's not. This is a classic. For me, it's a classic. Like I said, I can watch this with my family. It's
yeah.
a family movie too. You know, I remember my dad, I would watch him. We would just sit down and my dad would just have a crack up, you know, because you see these gringos trying to be Mexicans. You know, it's like superheroes, you know, and then you had, you know, great actors too. You know, you had El Guapo. He was a famous Mexican actor, Alfonso Arau. That's what you call him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his last name. And
yeah, the last time we saw them was when we did Used Cars. He was in that.
Yes, he was in, you know, he was, I mean, he was working.
Yeah, if you're a fan of, hey, speaking of Coco, he plays Papa Julio, the little, oh, you know, we have to get Enmelda or whatever, like the, maybe she wouldn't know what to do. The little
right
fat skeleton Theo. That's who he plays.
Right, right. And then you got another one, a Latino, really famous Latino in this movie. Who you've seen is Tony Plana.
Guy. Oh yeah,
he's a Cuban. He's a Cuban American actor, and he played El Jefe. He was El Jefe from you know El Jefe.
Yeah, this guy. He's done a lot of stuff, man. This guy's fucking.
So you know, I grew up watching them. You know, represent what Latinos are in the big screen, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you had Patrice Martinez, who played Carmen.
I mean, she didn't really do much.
No, she didn't. After this movie, that was it. She was like, I think she just like, well, that was it. She was an American actress. I don't know much.
Well, I mean, like she worked all the way to 99, but she didn't have a massive career. The one other thing that I would truly know her from was in Beetlejuice. She played the receptionist in Beetlejuice. So when the maintenance when they die and they go down, they meet this, like, she's like a beauty queen or whatever, and she's telling him like, hey, where do we go? He's like, oh, you gotta meet your caseworker Juno, and she has like, she slit her mm-hmm. wrist. That's who she plays.
Okay.
You don't have an appointment, do you?
Well, we didn't know how to make one.
Appointment for what?
What do you want?
We need some help.
Already? You just bit the big one 2 months ago and you want help.
2 months? What does that have to do with anything?
You're going to use up all your health vouchers. D-90s. You spend 125 years on Earth, actually in that house, during which you get only 3 Class 1 D-90 intercessions with Juno. You probably haven't even read through the manual completely yet. You'll have to wait if you don't have an appointment.
An appointment with who?
For Juno, your caseworker. Number 54,601, Ferndock.
Yeah. But other than that, like, I don't know her in anything.
But so this movie, it takes place like in 1916, you know, like 100 years ago.
Yeah,
it's 100. Well, yeah, it's 100.
Because the films of the time are still silent film.
Yes. So these three payasos mm-hmm. were silent actors. They were silent actors who were hired. And then, you know, what happened was these guys were like, hey, man, we want to make some more money. And they're like, yeah, Dusty, we got to make some more money. All right. So they asked the man, hey, man, we've been doing all these films and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know.
It sounds like they were working for free.
Yeah. Well, most actors do work for free, bro. You know, and then you get your break. But I guess they were working for free. Yeah. No. Well, actually, this is Hollywood's taking advantage of these guys. They didn't make any money.
Yeah, like the studio was making a shitload of money.
Right, right.
Making all this money. And he's like, all right, well, you know, as long as you act for us, you could sleep in the big house.
Yes. And everything. And, the key to whatever.
Yeah.
Just don't say nothing. Just but don't ask
we're
us.
Not, we're not going to pay you. So it's kind of like, what the fuck? Like, of course you're right. Going to want to. And then like the moment they say like, nah, man, like you're getting rich off of us. Like you need us. Like, come on. They're like, no, fuck you. Get out of here. And then, I mean, that was probably what happened a lot in the time of Hollywood back when.
Oh, bro, if you were, I mean, I love the history of Hollywood. I just love to read the dirt of reality in Hollywood, you know,
yeah.
Which is very painful. Those are the true stories. And this is it. These guys wanted to get more money, or they thought they were getting paid, but they weren't getting paid.
So yeah.
The guys were like, ah, we don't need you anymore. I think we're going to be moving into, and that's what happens. You're hot one day, and then you're not hot the next day.
Yeah.
So these guys got fired. They got fired. So we're like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? And this is all we've been, you know, this is all we know what to do. So, and then
what I like about this fucking movie is that, like, yeah, like I was shocked, but they, you know, the moment they want the money, like, hey, just fucking pay us. Like we're making you millions. They get kicked out of Hollywood. And that's when at that moment you get this takes beforehand because
right.
The movie starts in Mexico. It starts in Mexico, and then that's when you see this lady going around, and
right.
She goes to a bar, instead of fucking asking like in Spanish, you know, it's all in English, like, oh, we need some help.
I know. Excuse me, hi, I need some banditos porque me están fregando mi village.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, they're gonna go over there. Hey, necesito un bandido. No sabes a quién me puede ayudar porque me están jodiendo, me están quitando todo, y tienen que matar el guapo.
Exactly. That's what. That's how it really should have sounded.
Exactly.
And then
with subtitles.
I like that. Oh, you know, I want to look up who that guy is because I like the fat bartender.
Oh, dude, he's that guy.
Who is he? Like, I know I've seen him.
Look him
shit.
Up. Look him up. But
bartender.
Oh yeah, his friend Fred Aspargus.
Fred Aspargus?
Yeah. He was a big dude. He was like, this don't get in too rough for me.
Yeah, he's like, I know I seen him and shit. Where the fuck is the I don't see like the actor for Men in Bar. I don't know. I don't
there were a lot of familiar people in this film, bro. I mean, that we've seen him probably three times after or
I just clicked on him.
Oh, you clicked on him? You clicked that on him?
Yeah, I clicked it in him. Oh, he was in Colors.
He was in Colors? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was in Colors. Oh, what the fuck? He was in Breaking Two Electric Boogaloo.
Was he? Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that. He played the Hispanic man.
Okay.
He was also in This Is Spinal Tap, another movie that we've done. We've actually done both of them.
That's interesting.
Other than that, like, I mean, there's stuff that I don't even remember him. Like, I've seen Beverly Hills Cop 3, but I don't remember him in this at all. But, you know, yeah, like, so she goes and you know, she needs that help and shit. So she ends up going to a fucking church. And in the church, they're doing movies. I mean, they're like showing movies. And
By the way, let me just explain that. Back then in the towns, because my dad used to do this when he was young. Like my dad, but not. He would go into towns and show the movies that were happening during that time.
Your dad did that as a job?
Yeah, this is when he was a teen. He would go on he had a truck and he had an assistant with a projector and whatever film
they were promoting. Fucking cool.
Yeah, so he would go to town to town back in Mexico. It can be a church, it can be just a town. And they would sit there, they would pay. And then my dad would show the movie. You know, it would be back in the time, it would be, you know, his fame, you know, I got like Pedro Infante and all those people, you know, back in that generation. So, and then they would watch the film, they would pay him, and then he would pay the student. I don't know how he was, but that was my dad's job. So
that's fucking cool, bro.
Yeah. So yeah, this movie is like that. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Cause like,
there's a scene
in the early days of like silent film and shit like that. Yeah. That's what they would do. Someone would have the reels.
Right.
They would also normally they would have the whatever those things are, like the notes for like music, whatever I can think of the music.
The music notes, the sheet music.
The sheet music. They would have that because they would, the people with the organ would have to play along. And normally they had a cassette. Exactly. And they would travel around, from town to town because not everybody had movie theaters. So, and that's what this was. There is like, but how the fuck does she not see, does she not know what movies are?
Ay, pues en el, you know, when you live in when you live in el rancho, bro.
Yeah.
You know, you're living in the rancho, bro. You're not thinking about technology. You know, you're living about, you know, beautiful life out there and out in.
Like she,
you know what I'm saying? You're not thinking about this stuff. So maybe, you know.
So for her, when she sees this, she's like, oh, míralo, this is real. Like, it's a fucking el new life. I don't. Yeah, that's what it had. Because I was just like watching. I'm like, why does she think that these fuckers are real? Like, this is legit. Like,
well, oh, that's, they're gonna think about it, bro. When you're even for a child, a movie who's, you know, think, oh, wow, Superman can fly, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, it's make all make believe. And it's like, so that's what happened. You know, of course, that wouldn't happen tonight because now we live in such a high, you know, we have all these iPads and stuff. You can,
there's no way that you could fall for that shit.
Right. But, you know, but yeah, you can still, there's people who live in rancho. They don't have none of this stuff.
Yeah. So, you know? so because of that, that's when she's like, oh, we need help with El Guapo. Like we, you know, so she writes this a telegram.
I love the telegram.
but because they can't fucking afford, that's when she's like, the guy's like, well, let me give you the $10 version.
Right.
You
know? Right.
The three amigos, Goldsmith Pictures, Hollywood, California.
Three amigos.
We have seen your deeds and think you are very great. We can pay you 100,000 pesos.
100,000 pesos? We do not have 100,000 pesos.
Don't worry, Rodrigo, they will refuse it. But it would be an insult not to offer it to them.
100,000 pesos.
100,000 pesos if you come to Santa Poco and put on a show of your strength and stop the horrible,
evil, murdering,
villainous monster El Guapo. So that once again we can be a peaceful village.
23 pesos.
We only have 10.
Okay. I give you the 10 peso version.
Hey,
that was funny.
How much is 100 pesos?
Ay, pues, ya me vas a poner a pensar ahorita yo con todo lo que está pasando ahorita de matemáticas. No la fiegues, no mires.
If you can't figure out 136 million.
No, 100 pesos son, I don't know, it was like 10 bucks.
Because we were, bucks. Well, now probably, right?
Yeah. But, you know.
Because if it, like I was like we were trying to figure that out with like 100 pesos, like how much is that? And then because at one point he's like, oh, I'm gonna buy a car and I'm gonna go to Paris and I'm gonna make an orphanage for the orphans. And I'm just like, all right, 100 pesos must have been a lot of money back when. So
back then a lot of money was a lot of money. Today the money we have nothing. So, you know bless the people who didn't manage to like live the American dream and have money.
If you go to Tijuana and you give a $20 bill, forget it, bro.
Dude, they don't want any more. They don't even want pesos. They want dollars, bro. They want, give me a peso. Nah, I don't want no pesos. Give me some dollars, wey.
You know? Yeah, you could go and then, like, if someone's selling mazapan, you're like, dude, a cuantos? Es un dólar, pues. Aquí están, yes. Give me the whole box.
Yeah, no, no. And no, they're all high tech, too. They already have, I'm like, damn, you have Apple Pay and everything.
Yeah, hey, dame, hey, tengo tu card. You're just, it's okay.
Tienes la carta, la tarjeta. Yo también tengo tarjeta, güey. You know? I'm like, wow, okay, está bien. I love that my Mexicans know what's up.
I like whenever I used to leave when I was a kid, because my wife had asked, she's like, did you ever have a piggy bank growing up? I was like, every time we went to Tijuana, when we were leaving, my parents would always buy me like a ceramic piggy bank of like Donald Duck or whatever. You know how they make those cheap ones? I would get one all the time.
I had one, it was a pig, it was like un puerco. With a sombrero and like goes from Tijuana. Pobrecito. I cried when I needed to get some cents. You know, I had to crack them. I had to break them to get the centavos out.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, because it was ceramic. So
and then I tried to glue him back and it wasn't because I was so attached to that pig.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, and this isn't like piggy banks today where in the bottom you could pop it open and like, no, like they were just sealed 100%.
Yeah, this one was like, you break it if you need. That's why you're like, no, you don't touch that. I was like, I needed the cash, you know. I don't know. I had to pay my brother because of the quarter replay from video games. I don't know, something like that.
So, yeah, so she sends out a telegram to get the three amigos.
Boys, I know show business. Something always turns up. Telegram for the three amigos. Three amigos, Hollywood, California. You are very great. 100,000 pesos to come to Santa Poco, put on show stop. The infamous El Guapo.
What does that mean, infamous?
Oh, Dusty. Infamous is when you're more than famous. This man, El Guapo, is not just famous, he's infamous.
100,000 pesos to do a personal appearance with this guy, El Guapo, who is probably the biggest actor to ever come out of Mexico.
Wow, the infamous? Infamous?
Mm-hmm. And they assume it's a job because they right. just got fired. So they're like, fuck it, let's go. But we're like, hey, we need our costumes. Yeah. Like, we gotta steal our costumes.
Hey, tenemos que agarrar el costume porque si no, no podemos llegar sin ranchero.
And it's funny because it's like they have these stupid little jokes within this movie right. that really makes me laugh. Like this, there's this part where Steve Martin's character, he's like up on top climbing. And right. then the other two, they're like low, like all hiding. And then he just starts going like, gah, gah, and then like, he's like, nada. And then he starts saying more and more like, hey, up here. And
all right.
And then they finally pull back and you realize like, he's not even that fucking high. Like, how do they not see him? Like, or hear, I mean, hear him. Like, right. and just shit like that, that like little simple jokes that they do, like comedic moments. Like,
it kind of reminds you of the jokes of back then, and like, and I don't know, like during those times, it was very cute jokes like that. Like, how can he not see you? You're like, you know, it's like the Three Stooges type of jokes.
Like, there's this one where, okay, this is after the three amigos already showed up in what is it called? El Puerco? No. Casita Paco, or what's the town? I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Santa Poco.
Santa Poco, sí, porque yeah. it was a town that had poco dinero. That's what it was. That's what it was.
It really? Is that why it's called?
Yeah, Santa Poco. Yeah, Santa Poco. No tengo.
Oh, okay.
That was funny. That was funny.
So after the first time with the three guys, and they're like, hey, shall we kill them? And they're like, no, let's go get El Guapo. You know, we'll be back. And then they take off, right? So they have like a whole celebration with the three amigos. They're all there. Yeah, yeah. And there's this part where like, it's so fucking stupid, but hilarious. Because it's Chevy Chase. Right? And he has a guitar. Right? And he ain't playing shit. He's literally right. just strumming it all dumb. But
I know, he's going, yeah.
And all the women are just surrounding him, the grandma, and he's just strumming it all. Like, yeah. But the look, the way he's playing it, it's so stupid. Like, you clearly could tell this guy doesn't fucking know what he's doing. But they make it look so good. Like, there's another one.
See, for me, it's hilarious. I mean, it's just funny to see, like, you know, Chevy Chase, that guy just makes me laugh. I mean, it's just funny to see them. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I don't know.
Well, there's another one that, man, I had to rewind a few times because it just made me laugh because, again, it was a sight gag. It was so simple. It was a short little thing, and it made me laugh. So they get directions to go, and I don't know. Like, there's a part that the movie gets kind of weird, but anyways, so they show up to a singing bush. So when all three of them show up, you see them all get off the horse. But here's the thing. Chevy Chase, the way he's in the middle of them too. When he gets off and he lifts his leg, he somehow puts it on the other horse, and now he's sitting on the horse backwards on the other. And he's just like, what the fuck? And I don't know why, dude, that shit made me fucking laugh. Because I'm just like, it was just, that was so, like, I don't know if that was improvised or Chevy Chase did that, but it was like, fuck, dude, that made me laugh so hard because I was like, that right there, just that little gag that is just a throwaway thing that just... You could easily miss it. Made me fucking laugh.
I like the one where they're out in the desert. It's so hot and dusty, right? They're all just dying for like they're in their last drop of water.
Yeah.
Right? And then you see Chevy Chase is dusty. Like he's got a full, what do they call it? Canteen, right?
Yeah.
Ahí está el tomándole mucha agua. He's like, oh yeah, he gets a drink, a nice gulp, and then he gets it, you know, throw it all over his face, and then the other two are just looking at it, and then he throws it, and then it's still kind of still water.
Yeah,
they're all just like, and then he puts on
lip balm
on. Oh my god, that scene just makes me.
Yeah, because like you got Steve Martin, Lucky Day is a little bit of water, like a little
right,
bit,
right.
Martin Short, I don't know why his has sand.
Yeah, he had nothing. He had anything.
It was all sand. It was all sand that goes in his face. Right. So it's just shit like that. Like,
yeah, it was just classic comedy. Like, they didn't have to say anything. It was just like stuff like that. And that's throughout the whole film, bro.
Yeah.
That's like, throughout the whole film.
Like, there's a weird scene where they're this is after that, where they're in the middle of the desert. And they're like, it's nighttime, so it's you could clearly tell it's fake.
No, but I love, but it looks so beautiful. It does. It looks so awesome. You know,
yeah. it would be CG today, but back when, you know,
it was cool. I love it.
But I like it because they're like, because when they first decide, because there's a part where, it's a hilarious scene where El Guapo and all of them actually come back after the three guys, right? So, I'll get to the other scene right now because I have to lead up to it. So they show up, right? So then that's when they're three, like, I guess we got to perform. So that's when they show up and they go like, wherever there's injustice, this and that. He's like, tell us we're going to die like dogs. He's like, you will die like dogs. No, we won't. And they start riding around and they shoot them. And then that's when he's like, oh, real bullets. So let me hold on. You know, he goes and tells him, let me see your gun, whatever. He's like, yeah, real bullet. You're in big trouble, mister. And that's when he finds out, oh shit, this is real.
Dude, isn't that crazy? Think about that. That just happened for real.
Oh, yeah.
Right? To who?
Well, technically, it wasn't a real bullet, but the shit could still fucking kill. And that's the obvious.
That's what I'm saying. It's like what happened. Well, anyway, going back to the movie, but yeah, back then, yeah, you're in real big trouble, mister. Wait until I report to you. Yeah, so and then
that's when he notices, Martin, like, yeah. Oh shit, this is real. So he goes back to them, right? And he's like, hey, this is real. He's like, what? It's like, yeah, they're gonna kill us. And then all three of them are just like crying.
They're like, Kieto, they are going to kill us. And then Martin Short says something funny. We don't even belong here. What am I doing in Mexico?
He's like, I just got shot.
It's real.
What?
This is real.
You mean?
Yes. They are going to kill us.
What am I doing in Mexico?
I've been shot already.
I know.
What are we gonna do?
We're not gonna get paid, that's for sure.
me talk to him. Man to man.
Yeah. Steve Martin goes up.
They run off. Right. Like they find out everything's real. They want to get out of there. He's like, I don't kill. I only kill men. I don't kill crying babies and women or whatever.
No. But you got to say it the way you said it.
Oh, what did he say?
He goes, I don't kill crying women. That's what he says, right?
I think so.
I kill men.
I only kill men. Yeah. Whenever we do El Guapo or any other guys, we got to El Jefe and all of them. We got to do it like them, their voices. Yeah, so people exactly. know who we're talking about.
Exactly.
So they bail. And then they blow up the fucking town and shit. And then they leave. So when they come back to figure out like, oh shit, like, you know, everybody's fucking dead. We're here for our stuff. And then they took Carmen. That's when Martin Short's character, Ned, he's like, hey, we, you know what? We have nothing at the house. Like, we're basically dead. Like, let's save the day. Let's try to fucking be the real Three Amigos. So then this is where the part where they hop on the horses and they take off. Right.
Right.
And then that's when we get that scene in the desert. But there's a part where it's, again, another throwaway line where Chevy Chase goes, hey, how long were we riding before we had to turn around and go and get asked for directions? He's like, 3 miles. And it's just fucking stupid. Like they rode off all happy. Like, yeah, we're going to go. And then they realize, hey, I don't know where the fuck we're going. Let's go back. Hey, where are we going? So it's just like a little throwaway lines like that, you know?
Right.
So it's shit like that. And then the singing horses, I don't know. But there's stuff like that. Like when they get to the town with El Jefe and then when they start, like, they all swing, like they all fuck up. Like, you got Chevy Chase flies into the room and into a cabinet. Martin Short gets stuck in a piñata, and then Steve Martin literally just falls flat.
It's like the Three Stooges, bro. And it was during the El Guapo's birthday.
Yeah. He was
ding, 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 ding.
He was turning 40.
I have put many beautiful piñatas in the storeroom, each of them filled with little surprises.
Many piñatas?
Oh, yes, many!
Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas?
A what?
A plethora.
Oh, yes, you have a plethora.
Jefe, what is a plethora?
Why, Guapo?
Well, you told me I have a plethora, and I just would like to know if you know what a plethora is. I would not like to think that a person would tell someone he has a plethora and find out that that person has no idea what it means to have a plethora.
Forgive me, El Guapo. I know that I, Jefe, do not have your superior intellect and education. But could it be that once again, you are angry at something else and are looking to take it out on me?
Yeah, he was turning 40. And then also they had the German guys. Those German guys were selling the guns. Oh,
their guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, El Guapo, we have something for you. Oh, you. It's your birthday. We celebrating Christmas. I mean, to cumpleaños or whatever. I can never say birthday in Spanish. How do you say it?
Cumpleaños.
I can never say that.
You got to use your whole mouth. Dude. Cumpleaños.
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 I can't say.
There you go. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but el guapo and shit like that, like these guys and Jefe, like man, that's the only thing. It still makes me laugh, but their accents that they give all these guys. Hey, Jefe, El Guapo, what we do with these guys? We kill them.
And actually, those other guys, too, are big, huge Mexican actors, too. They're all, like, you know, they got, at least they got some, you know, like, the guys who are playing the bandits, some of them, too. Like, hey, that guy with the heavy one, that's his real voice. That's the way he talks.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to tell Guapo, I don't like it here. Let's go.
We need some tequila. Come on.
Tequila, vamos. Hey, ¿dónde está la tequila? Tequila.
Yeah, like all the, I don't know, dude. Like, I mean,
then the German guys, Viva El Guapo!
Yeah,
oh,
so,
man.
So there's some, so we could have had a crazy fucking different version of this movie. Like, when it comes to this movie, dude, like, it's crazy because, like, when I started doing it, I didn't get to do full research on this film, but I did some where this movie originally had the idea of having Steve Martin was always put on top for this film. Like, he was always one that was casted in this movie because it was written by Steve Martin, Lorne Michaels, who does fucking Saturday Night Live, and then Randy Newman, who also wrote the music for this, and how he originally had planned that it was going to be Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. We're going to be the three amigos at one point. And then they even had Steven Spielberg coming on to direct the fucking movie. And but Spielberg,
mucho dinero, mucho
that's
cash.
It probably would have made a shitload of money. Dude. And that's when Spielberg is like, all right, well, we'll have Steve Martin, Bill Murray, and Robin Williams, in which that version I would have loved to see.
Los mero fregones de Hollywood.
Dude, imagine seeing, we have a love for Robin Williams on this podcast. Imagine seeing Robin Williams in this movie.
Wow.
80s Robin Williams. Like, I think it would have been great. But yeah, you know,
we would have gotten the coked out Robin Williams Mexican dude on that.
But obviously Spielberg pulled out, so then John Landis jumped in to direct, and then he wanted Rick Moranis as Ned because Martin Short wasn't available to play it. But then that's when Dan Aykroyd, he wasn't available anymore. They are like, oh, well, we'll replace him. That's when they got Chevy Chase. And then they wanted John Candy to replace John Belushi. But
el caballo pobrecito se iba a morir.
It'll break his back, yeah.
Those stunts for the horse is too much for them.
Yeah. And then so at that point, that's when, you know, John Candy is like, hey, you know, you guys should get freaking Martin Short. I've worked with him. And that's when they brought him on board. But it's just like, it's crazy how there's so many movies that you and I have talked about where like there is certain people casted before the final version that I'm like, man, I would love to have seen that movie. Like this movie, what did it do? Like, it just says the box office was $39 million. Doesn't give me a production note of how much it cost, but like, I don't know if this movie was a hit or not, because it's not one of those 80s movies that you constantly hear people talking about today. Oh yeah, look, it cost estimated about $25 million, and it only made $39 million. So it was a barely made some, like, it made money, but it wasn't a huge hit for them. Like, I don't know why, dude.
That's crazy, a
big 80s movie. Like,
well, maybe after it just became like, you know how later on the movies become so more popular, and then, but I don't know, whatever. Dude, movies today are different now. That was back in the 80s. That's what it made, you know. Yeah. And it's, I mean, for these three guys, these three guys were like already in their outs in the comedy scene. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because these guys started in the early, you know, late 70s and Saturday Night Live, all of them.
Well, no. I would have to say
not in the outs, but the things were changing too. I mean, now that I look back, you know, in some of these movies, and
the only one that was on his way out was Chevy Chase, even though this was 86, because I mean, he wasn't out yet. Because if we want to talk about like the 90s, Chevy Chase struggled big time in the 90s. Not Steve Martin. He was doing shit in the 90s. Like, he was writing and stuff too.
Yeah.
And then same with Martin Short. But right. Like, because the last thing that Chevy Chase did that actually did well for him money wise in the 80s was at the very end of the 80s. And that was Christmas Vacation. But like, he had movies in the 90s that nobody fucking, he had a talk show that fucking failed.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, that's when some of those actors, unfortunately, happened to Chevy Chase, like a Steve Martin and Martin Short. Those guys, I mean, I don't know, those guys maybe, I mean, Steve Martin is a musician. So he was like, okay, this is not working for me. I'm going to go play some country or whatever he's doing. That's what he does.
Yeah.
You know, and then Martin Short likes to write a lot. You know, and I don't know where Chevy Chase. You know, donde que hacen estos, tienen tanto dinero y no saben.
Yeah, because I'm looking at fucking Chevy Chase right here. And after Three Amigos, he did like this film I've never even fucking heard of called The Couch Trip. I remember Funny Farm, but that didn't really do well. Caddyshack 2 was a fucking flop.
That was it, bro.
Fletch Lives. And then that's when he did a Christmas Vacation. That was a huge hit. But then after that, stuff that he was doing in the 90s did not do well, dude. Like, they were fucking terrible. Where if you look at like Martin Short,
well, look, you gotta think about it. I mean, the 90s, Chevy Chase is a, can we
comedy guy from the 80s, I was in my 20s. So the 90s, there was a big, huge shift in comedy. You know what I'm saying? So as I'm saying, it's like he had 10 years of good of Chevy Chase, of, you know, his, you know, I don't know, it's just, you know what, it's whatever happens, bro. Like, you never know how Hollywood is going to be accepting you. You're going to have a long run or you have a short run. And then you come back later and you know, I mean, it's all like a crapshoot here.
Yeah. It looks like Steve Martin was like here and there. He would have a good film, not one that did well. Good. Cause I remember, like, he did after this, he did a movie called Inner Space. And I remember that movie was a huge fucking hit.
Inner Space. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, of course. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to the movies on was it a date? It was a cute date. The Man with Two Brains, Steve Martin. I remember seeing that film. That was
a funny
film. Yes. So I'm a big Steve Martin fan because I love him, watching him. And so he's got The Jerk. And then he has The Man with Two Brains. The
Jerk, dude, is a fucking
that is movie, funny, bro.
Stupid movie, dude.
It's una pendejada movie, bro. It's just like, what is going on here?
Wait, when the guy is shooting at him? And then he's like looking at the cans and he's like, hey, this guy shoots. Like, he hates these cans. And then that's when he realized he's shooting at him. Like, there's stuff like that that is just dumb. Like, when he finds out he has $1 million or whatever, and his whole head like spins around. Like, and see, this is why I always tell people, ignore Rotten Tomatoes. Ignore fucking Rotten Tomatoes, because they'll rate movies and they'll give them bad ratings. But
you know what? I've never been one of going to about ratings, bro. I've been one about, like, hey, man, like, word of mouth.
Yeah.
I don't need to have a guy tell me, hey, this movie, you know what? That's for myself. I don't even read critics' movie. I don't really care what they think, you know?
Yeah.
That's my opinion. If I'm going to go out on a movie and spend the money, then it's on me. I'll critique it. And if I do, this is my critique. If I went to go see a movie and I enjoyed it, I'm going to share it. If I went and it wasn't good, I'm going to say, you know what? Don't bother your movie. Unless you're interested and said, okay, there's people like, well, I'm curious. People are going to go see. When you tell them don't go see it, they're going to go see it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because the reason I bring that up is because when The Jerk first came out, the reviews were just terrible. And yet it was a fucking huge hit, dude. That movie cost $4 million to make at the time. For the when this movie was released, was it 79, I believe,
right?
And it made $100 million. And yeah, all the critics were like, this movie is dumb, it's stupid humor, no one's gonna like this, blah 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 blah, just talking mad shit.
Reverse psychology, bro.
Well, if people would have listened to the critics then, this Steve Martin probably wouldn't have a career that he has now. But this movie was a massive hit. And that's why I tell people, don't fucking listen to Rotten Tomatoes. You go, you watch it. If you like it. Don't let other people influence. If you're like, me and Freddie will go, we revisit these movies, but we don't revisit this movie to tell you guys, nah, fuck this movie, don't watch it. We're literally, in reality, what this podcast is me and Freddie just watching stuff and us just remembering. Like, yeah, I remember
and,
this.
And then we invite you to watch what you and I have. I've watched.
Exactly. But we're not going to tell you, hey, nah, don't watch this, man. Like, we're going to be like, hey, you know what? This movie, I like it because of this. Like, that's literally what our show is. Me and Freddie are like, it's actually a conversation between me and him going, hey, Freddie, remember that scene where this and that? Oh, it's funny. El Guapo, he said, oh, hey, I got a sweater, you know?
He got a sweater.
And that's what it is. So yeah, like this movie, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I was laughing, you know. I was like, fuck, it's been years. I saw this when it came out in theaters, though. I remember we were my parents when I was a kid and we saw it. But it's one that I saw when I was a kid, but I never really saw much as an adult. So this was my first time watching it in years.
Wow.
And it was good.
Good, good. This movie reminds me of my brother and my cousins, because we would get together in the family.
We would be in the family gathering parties back in the day, good times. And we would just be messing around like, hey, guapo, hey, don't call me guapo. You know, we'd just like be messing around and getting quotes from the movie and throwing it back at each other, you know. Hey, do you have a plethora? Yes, I got a plethora of cervezas.
Yeah, we need some more tequila.
We have more tequila.
These fuckers drink a tequila out of the bottle like nothing.
Oh, dude, forget it. I couldn't. See, I'm Mexican. I can't drink. I don't drink tequila, bro. I just can't. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know. No se me hizo muy fuerte el liver. Hey, you're a weak liver, eh? Yeah. Hey, pero si te gusta la sativa, ¿verdad? Sí, a mí me gusta, me encanta la sativa. Hey, they'll be like, hey, tequila. Will be like, hey, some sativa, sativa, órale.
Right? It would be like, oh, let's go get some weed.
Oh, my God. But, wow. I haven't laughed like that in a while, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I know you needed it, you know.
It was a perfect film. See what I'm saying? This is a perfect film. If you're feeling down or if you're feeling kind of like, oh, God, just throw this film on. It's on. You can find it anywhere. I don't know if you can find it on YouTube or you can buy it on Amazon.
I rented it on Amazon.
Yeah, I
rented it.
And you rented it. And then if you're in Prime, Amazon membership, it's right there, I guess, you know, but it's a good film to watch. It's funny. It's a classic. And I don't know. It's just good. It's good times. Good times.
Yeah, it is. It's honestly, it's a funny fucking movie. Like, it truly is. It's not like 100% hilarious, but like, I'm telling you, there are moments where it's just subtle little things. Like, When they're eating, they're right there with the frijoles and the tortillas, and Chevy Chase rolls up because he's like, I don't know what the tortilla is. Like, clearly he doesn't fucking know. So he rolls up the food and then he holds it up and it all just fucking falls out. And he's like, all right, like, well, what the fuck?
I love the part when he was like, hey, who are you? And everybody's like in the table celebrating El Guapo's birthday.
Yeah.
And then they find out, they're like, who's this guy? Who are you? Well, remember we rode the horses with the women. We rode the horses with the women.
No. Then, he goes, we raped the horses.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But, and then they find out, it's like, who the hell are you? It's one of those goddamn gringos. What the hell is happening around here? A gringo's falling down from the sky. And then you see, and then El Jefe goes, yes, el guapo.
On the women. Rode off on the women. And plundered.
Plundered.
Pruned.
The
hedges.
Hedges.
Of many small villages. Who the hell are you? Another one of the goddamn gringos. Take this monkey away. Put him with the other Yankee maricon. What is happening around here today? A gringo is falling from the sky.
That is hilarious.
See, it's stuff like that. Like when
I love it.
When Ned has to do the shootout with the German guy.
Right.
And then because he's so little and that gun is so big, he's fast, but when he shoots, his ass just flies back. Like,
right. Ah! And then you hear him with his voice, whoa!
Exactly, you know? And it's moments like that. Like, and I love how when the German guy first shows up to the bar, right? And then he's like, do you happen to know who El Guapo is? He's like, I might know something, you know, like the bartender.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then that's when he says, like these other, there's a guy, like he's clearly like the one white guy there.
Right.
He's like, hey, you, I like your little gun, you cutesy little baby. Oh, come sit on my lap, you know? And he kills him and a bunch of other guys. So everybody's like, oh fuck. He's like, I'm gonna have some friends. Three of my friends come. He's like, how do I know what to? He's like, you'll know. So he leaves, and that's when they show up and everybody's all scared of him, like, oh shit, like, hey, these guys are crazy. And then that's when they do the stupid dance, like, my little buttercup. No,
I like it when Chevy Chase goes to the, he's so big, bro.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the little piano and he sits there and then he's playing the, like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, it's just hilarious. Yeah. And that buttercup song, bro. Written by Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the guy that does. He's the guy that does, I love LA.
LA. Dang, 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 dang.
We love it. If you ever go to a Dodger game, that song always plays.
Oh, man. He's still making cash from it. That's in the feria, ¿verdad? Mucha feria.
Hell yeah, dude. If they play it at every Dodgers game.
Of course, bro.
So that one. And there's another song called Short People Got No Reason to Live. That's the only other song I know. Oh, man. But yeah, it's the We Love LA. We love it.
And then My Little Buttercup has the sweetest smile. Smile.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're all scared. And then that's when they leave and then they see the real German show. They're right. Like, oh, look at the little pansies or whatever they say. And
all
they
go, right.
Pass, pass, pass. You know?
Pass, pass, pass. And then the bartender gets him and he goes, wow, this town is getting too rough for me.
This town's getting too rough for me.
Yeah. Poor guy, man.
Pobrecito bartender.
Yeah, you know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's little jokes like that. Like, you know, when El Guapo first shows up and they're like, no, we sing and dance. Like, and then that's when they do the My Little Butter, you know.
Oh, man. They're supposed to be like macho guys and they're doing, you know, these Broadway shows, dances and all that. But
that's what it is, man. That's like this movie is like filled with a lot of like little things that could you be easy miss it or it's just stuff that's just comic like it's
cute comedy. Dude, it's cute. We're so like, God, there's so much like dirty like comedy. We're so thrown in our face that sometimes it's nice to just see a nice clean comedy.
Yeah,
you know, it's not hurting anybody. You know, yeah, they're making fun of Mexican accents and this and that, but you know what? You know, just have a open mind. Just we all, you know, we all joke about stuff, so it's like you know, people get so like, oh, you know, they're representing the Mexicans wrong. It's like, hey, tranquilo, tranquilo, es una movie, es una película, have a sativa, cálmate.
Yeah.
Or this town is getting too rough for me.
Oh, man. And I, you know, it, again, it's a fun movie. Check it out if you've never seen it, you know. And if you want to see a bunch of, you know, Mexican actors do a horrible Mexican accent, check out this movie. They kind of, you know, even the when we start going on Chicano, it's like ours is much better than what they, if we were, that's why, man, poor Mexicans back in Hollywood back in the day, man.
It's still happening, bro. It's still happening. It's like, you know what? Get the real people, man. Instead of having,
what are you talking about? They don't make them do the accent today. They'd get in deep shit if they did that now.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, right. It's still happening, bro. Yeah,
where? What show or what movie is making them giving them fake Mexican accents right now?
Dude. These new shows, bro.
¿Cuál es, güey?
Mira, yo no sé, esto no voy a poner aquí con la política, ¿ok? quiero comenzar bien el año.
The only thing I know that they did that with was La Llorona Maze from back in 2012.
That's terrible. Yeah.
It's like, Greg Stevens, you're doing the Llorona, what is it called? Oh, my God, what is it called? The Llorona? I can't even say it. Oh, my gosh.
It's a dude. You know what? Okay. So let's just put it this way. Now, I know I know what you meant, because what I was referring to was the fact of how they make Mexicans have that stupid fake accent. Right. They don't make them do that anymore. Thank God for that, you know, but they still make them play maids and shit, if you know, sadly.
Okay, you're going to be the drug dealer. And it's like, hey, I don't want to play the drug dealer. Can I be the lawyer? No, you can be the
like,
lawyer.
You know, the lady who played the killed Selena in that one movie? Like for years, like she at one point she's like, you know what, fuck that, I'm not, all you guys ever hire me is to play a maid, I'm not doing that anymore, because she every time, dude, she was always playing maids,
right
but
right.
Like, you know, there's those instances, but like there's this film that came out after the maze and everything, is probably like came out 2 years ago. It was the actual horror film, a story about La Llorona. All right, we're finally gonna get a Llorona movie, and the main actress in the film and the fam were all white. You're like, really? You're gonna do a Llorona movie and the main actress is a white girl?
Que la frega,
I remember reading all the complaints about that. Like, really?
Híjole.
Yeah.
Está mal esta situación, de veras. Está muy mal esta situación.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So
that's why, look, man, hey, if you're gonna make you know, a movie that's gonna have Raza aquí, that, you know, do it together, you know.
Yeah.
Put the movie together. There's outlets now. There's, you know, you don't need the studios anymore, man. The studios had too much power. Now you can have your own channel, establish, your fan base, your followings, and there you go. And then if people like your film, it's going to get shared. Nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, what about you, Freddie? Like, say I'm a studio right now. I'm like, hey, Freddie Morales, you know what? I'm going to give you $50 million and I want you to make a movie.
Okay. Boom. Dame la feria, güey.
Okay, here's a check. Aquí, it's post-dated, okay?
All right, okay. Orale.
What would you do? What would you do if you could?
What? If I got... What would I do?
Well, what movie would you make?
I have to do research. Like, what? A real movie? Like,
you're it's an elevator pitch, bro. You got to do it all fucking quick.
Ay, jole. Mira, yo no estoy con el pensamiento porque como estoy en una situación ahorita, mi cabeza no está bien.
Mr. Freddy Morales.
Can you give me 2 days? Dame dos días, güey.
The moment you walk out that door, sir, that check is being canceled.
What movie? I don't know. The Real Life of Zapata.
There you go.
The Real Life of Zapata, and there you go. To tell the story about the whole Mexican Revolution.
You know what? We're gonna up that check. We're gonna give you $100 million.
Gracias, güey. Órale, la feria. Órale. And I'm gonna get some real actors, muy mexicanos, unos que representan bien la gente. Y ahí está, ¡zas! Y ahí está. Boom. That's what
I would do. We'll do I'm gonna do the story of Freddie Morales, the man who voiced the Depeche Mode cover band.
Oh my goodness.
El mexicano que le hace la date gun.
Yeah, date gun. It's funny, dude, because on Twitter, like, these people are just like, what the fuck? Like, Freddie's a cover band for Depeche Mode?
Hey, that guy sings? What?
Y like, era el mexicano. I'm like,
Y es de la raza. Ay, No.
¿Cómo?
Yeah. Mexican American from Southgate, California.
Estamos en la land de los pendejos.
All right, we got to go out on that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, it's been fun reminiscing about the Three Amigos, or revisiting, talking about El Guapo, you know, Freddy's future movie of as Zapata. No, who was it?
La verdad es Zapata, el Zapata.
Zapata, there you go.
La revolución.
And my movie about Freddy Morales, but I think it's time we hop into our DeLorean and travel back to the future.
This happened a Butters Bear Network production.